A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House Committee on Taxation to order. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Fikert.
Here.
Gibson.
Here.
Greenfield. Hunhoff.
Here.
Junkie.
Here.
Kirkaby. Kirschman.
Here.
Lang.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Russell. Solem.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Gnome.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Mr. Chair, 12 of 15 are present.
All right, we have a quorum present. We have a couple of folks who are out testifying on bills that they may be sneaking in a little bit later. So with that, I'd like to welcome everyone to House Tax this morning, both here and on the Internet. Another friendly reminder to turn off your cell phones or on vibrate. We have a couple of pages with us today. If you'd come introduce yourselves on the microphone, where you're from. Or you can go up front, no, either way.
I'm Gina Myros from Kimball.
I'm Dietrich Thompson from Del Rapids.
Welcome. Glad to have you. For those of you who wish to testify today, we ask that you sign in the back of the room on the pedestal back there for the record. I'd also like to extend our best wishes and condolences to Representative Gibson. We know you're having a difficult time, and our thoughts and prayers are certainly with you, and we wish you and your family all the best. I know how tough that is. So, with that, I guess we'll move to the calendar. The first bill up is House Bill... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, the minutes. Yes, thank you. Chair will entertain a motion on the minutes. Moved by Gnome. Have a second by Gibson. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Okay, so moving to the calendar, House Bill 1229. The sponsor has requested that we delay that till... probably the next meeting. Keep your eye on the agenda. We'll see how that goes. So with that, we will move directly to House Bill 1255. Any proponents to House Bill 1255?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Kent Junkie from District 21, which are the counties of Jones, Lyman, Buffalo, Brule, and Charles Mix. I bring you House Bill 1255 on behalf of the telecommunications. It's an act to revise the telecommunications gross receipts tax. In South Dakota, we tax telecommunication companies in one of two ways. If you're a large landline telecommunications company, by definition, that is one with more than $50 million in revenue, you pay a centrally assessed property tax, and those funds are dispersed to local governments where the large landline company has property. If you're a small landline telecommunication company, that's with revenues of less than $50 million, or a wireless company, you pay a 4% gross receipts tax. The main difference is that school districts receive 100% of the wireline revenues, while the state general fund and the counties are the recipients of the wireless funds. HB 1255 deals with the gross receipts tax on wireline companies. As the telecommunication business has changed over the past generation, we have seen companies in South Dakota grow by merger and consolidation. This has pushed their annual revenue numbers up, and in at least one case, nearing the $50 million threshold. If HB 1255 is not passed, a number of the South Dakota school districts, especially in the God's country, West River, stand to lose significant funding. With the budget being what it is, I would suggest that we work towards achieving the status quo and keep these funds flowing to these school districts. I believe there's an amendment to this bill that has been worked out between the Telecommunications Association and the Department of Revenue. I hope you can look favorably upon the amended portion of 1255, and I would ask support of it in this amended form, and I'll stand by for questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Junkie. Are there any further proponents to House Bill 1255? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Mr. Chairman, the page is distributing the amendment, and with your permission, I'd like the ability to speak to both the amendment and the bill. As Representative Junkie alluded to, in the past decade specifically, there have been a significant number of mergers and acquisitions that have taken place within the telecommunications industry. For example, I have worked for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association for 9 years. When I first started with our group, our membership, including subsidiaries of our member companies, numbered close to 40. Today, that number is now down closer to 20. A lot of that took place because a number of our companies began and operated corporate subsidiary companies when they acquired assets from U.S. West back in the mid-90s. Over time, those corporate subsidiaries have rolled into their parent companies and cooperatives. And so we have seen a significant amount of merger and acquisition go on within the past decade. And what has happened as a result of that is that when we value the gross receipts of those companies, those companies now are growing in terms of their gross revenues. HB 1255 is the result of that continued growth in both companies and in the technology as they have begun to offer more and more services. This is not the first time that we have had to address this issue. Back in 2002, at that time, the threshold from gross receipts tax to centrally assessed tax was at $25 million. At that time, the legislature saw fit to move that forward from $25 million to the current level of $50 million. With this amendment, we, in concert with the Department of Revenue, have agreed that the best number to go forward is to raise that number from $50 million to $75 million. As Representative Junkie alluded to, and just to give you just a snapshot, if you're a gross receipts tax paying company, the funds from those gross receipts taxes end up in the coffers of the school districts of your service area. And so, for example, in Representative Junkie's area specifically, I will use Kennebec Telephone as an example. Kennebec Telephone is a small company, would not be impacted necessarily by the move in this bill, but all of the gross receipts taxes paid by Kennebec Telephone Company end up going 100% to the Lamon County School District. As Representative Junkie alluded to, because of the fact that there are mergers and acquisitions going on within the industry, this $50 million threshold needs to be adjusted. Like I said, in concert with the Department of Revenue, we have agreed that $75 million is the best number to peg for the threshold going forward. There are a couple of other proponents that are here to testify on behalf of the bill. We certainly would ask your favorable opinion on 1255, and Mr. Chairman, I would stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Are there any further proponents to House Bill 1255? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. My testimony is simple. This bill helps to maintain the status quo. It won't cause any shifts in the amount of money that any school districts get. We'd ask you to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. Any further proponents to House Bill 1255? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Charlie Flowers, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Coalition School and the mid-sized schools, and we too support this bill. It's kind of a Me Too thing, I guess, but it is kind of an update and to get us back into the time, so we support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flowers. Any further proponents to House Bill 1255? Seeing none, since we had no opposition, we'll waive the rebuttal on House Bill 1255 and open it up to questions from the committee. Have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, appears you guys have done your job well. We'll close the questioning and move it up to committee action and or discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd move do pass.
Second. We need to amend it.
Oh, we got to pass the amendment. Sorry. I forgot about it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
I move that we amend House Bill 1255 with Amendment 1255-FA.
Get a second. We have a motion by Greenfield, second by Solem, to amend House Bill 1255 with Amendment 1255-FA. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. House Bill 1255 is amended. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, now I would move DuPass.
As amended?
Second. As amended.
DuPass is amended by Noem, second by Solem. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Fikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunthoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell. Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
The motion do pass as amended. Having received a majority vote of the members elect is hereby declared passed. There he is, a man of the hour. Thank you, Representative Junkie. Next up on the calendar, we have House Bill 1273. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1273? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the House Taxation Committee. Just was in another committee, so I need a couple minutes to get organized here. House Bill 1273 is brought in front of you today to ask for an expansion of the tax agreement or the types of taxes that tribes can negotiate with the state of South Dakota. I would like to, first of all, give an overview of why the tribes have tax agreements. And if you were to look in our code and Title 10-12A2, it states legislative findings agreements authorized. The legislature finds that the public interest of both Indians and non-Indians is best served by close cooperation between the state government and Indian tribes. The legislature finds this cooperation to be especially important in the area of taxation. Accordingly, the department is hereby authorized to enter into tax collection agreements with Indian tribes. And this was passed back in 1974, and it dealt with the issue of sovereignty, where tribes could collect their taxes separate from what the state of South Dakota could impose. And it was found to be in the best interest that the state and the tribe can agree to collect the same similar taxes, so we don't have areas of the state, such as Indian reservations, where there's different taxes being collected or not being collected. And if you look at the bill there in 1273, there's currently 11 different taxes that tribes can enter into agreements with the state. And I believe at this time only the four largest tribes in South Dakota, Rosebud, Ogallala, Cheyenne River, and Standing Rock, have entered into tax agreements, primarily in the area of sales taxes, where the largest tax collection is taking place. This does not, this bill, if you pass this, would not require that there be a set amount established as far as what rates that the additional taxes would be imposed at. It would then be negotiated between the tribes and the state. The two additional taxes that we're asking to be included are the tax for telecommunications companies imposed by Chapter 1033A. This is essentially the cell phone tax. Now, there's actually two taxes for telephone communications. One is the landline tax. And we're not asking for that to be included in here. There was an agreement made back in the 90s that telephone companies would be taxed on gross receipts versus property tax. And the tax on the landlines goes to schools. The other cell phone tax, which is a growing revenue because more people are using cell phones today than landlines, is split between the counties and the state. So it's for local government use. And the tribes have their needs for local government as well, and they will present their argument for that. The other tax, quite frankly, I'm not too sure exactly how that's used. The one that goes to the PUC, I believe it's in subsection 13. It's not too large of a tax. I think it's like 15% of 1%. And but anyway, that tax shows up on the cell phone bills, and we had a meeting before session, and I couldn't answer the question why the tribal members pay that tax. And so therefore, we put those two in there to bring forth in front of the committee for consideration. So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do have others here to testify.
Thank you, Representative Lucas. Further proponents to House Bill 1273. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Whitney Meek, and I'm the Revenue Director for the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and I have a direct working relationship with the South Dakota Department of Revenue through the Tax Collection Agreement, the Tax Commission, and the public. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe, through its Tax Commission and our Tribal Utilities Commission, have spearheaded this bill, and we had requested Representative Larry Lucas to introduce this bill. The tribe has adopted a resolution in support of this change to SDCL 10-12A to permit the process of negotiation of these taxes found in 1033A and the access fee in 1049, or I should say 49. At least once a year, tribal officials meet with the Department of Revenue, and we discuss our legislative changes to the tax collection agreement and sales tax, excise tax, motor fuel. Through this effort, the tribe has discussed our concerns with the gross receipts tax on telecommunications. We have been told repeatedly that this tax cannot be discussed because it's not included in 1012A. So I'm here today to give testimony in support of House Bill 1273. But I also would like to call to your attention that there are other taxes not included in this bill, but probably should be included in 1012A. These are the occupational tax in 35-5, the bank franchise tax in 1043, the gross receipts tax on new and expanded power production found in 1046C, and the taxation of electric companies in 1036. This is just to name a few. I could go on. Briefly, I would like to address a couple of instances regarding the impact of the agreement and the current taxes and taxes not included. A few years back, the South Dakota Department of Revenue had made a determination that our local payday company down on the reservation was subject to the bank franchise tax, and this practice was not subject to the sales taxable transaction. Thus, amended sales tax returns were filed, and the tribe had to pay back what was previously reported as sales tax. Of course, then the tribe was not entitled to the bank franchise tax. Also, in 1977, the tribe state has entered into the tax collection agreement regarding cigarette excise taxes. And the excise tax has always been reported for many, many years just on a single page report to the tribe. And in 2006, through our meetings with the Department of Revenue, the tribes had requested more and more information. We wanted to know who was reporting this tax, who the wholesalers were, how much tax was collected, you know, how many cigarettes were sold. And through these reports, which the Department of Revenue was finally able to provide us, we found out who and how much. And it was also determined then that the city of St. Francis was not included in the cigarette excise tax. So an audit was done by the wholesaler, and we received 3 years back. But the question has to come, you know, 3 years of that back cigarette excise tax revenue from 28 years that the tribe had entered into the agreement. I bring this out because there needs to be a better mechanism than having to wait a year to introduce an amendment to a bill or to amend the 1012A. However, I also want to end on or talk a little bit on a positive note. The tax collection agreement does work. The tribe and the state have found cooperative effort achieves our goals. The sales tax, excise tax, motor fuel tax are uniformly assessed. Issues of double taxation are avoided. The issue of the cell phone tax just came to the forefront in the past 4 years, with tribal members being eligible for the Lifeline Link. Prior to that, cell phone usage was sporadic on the Rosebud Reservation, and it was hard to even get a signal, let alone to worry about our cell phone taxes. With the infusion of cell phones, and tribal members like to call these our commodity phones or treaty phones, more and more people are questioning their bills and taxes. What is unique is that the economic incidence of the tax can be different between companies. On the Rosebud Reservation, the cellular phone company chose to directly bill or line item the gross receipts tax, which was similar to the sales tax. The landline phone company does not directly bill the tax. As tax director, I've answered many questions regarding the various taxes on cell phone, but the question that cannot be answered is why can't the tribe receive a portion of this tax? And tribal governments have talked to their respective attorneys, and the final opinion is that the imposition of this tax is questionable, and I'm not an attorney, and I'm not here to argue law. It is my intent to urge a negotiation of this issue, which has to be included in 1012A before we can even talk about it. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe is unique in that it has created both a tax commission and a tribal utilities commission. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe has enacted Title 18, which regulates our utilities there on the reservation. And the TUC commission has enacted a user fee, which is based similar to the same fee imposed by the state. In recent correspondence, Golden West has questioned double taxation. And this is the reason that the tax collection agreements have been entered into, to avoid double taxation. The gross receipts tax on telecommunications is considered to be a property tax, or we've been told by the state, Department of Revenue, a payment in lieu of tax. It was determined that it would be hard to assess a property tax on telephone companies when you have miles and miles of fiber optic lines crossing counties and jurisdictions. On the Rosebud, the utility companies who have received leases from the BIA regarding right-of-way and the cellular phone company, has received a business lease because the cell phone towers are placed on trust lands on the Rosebud Reservation. So if the gross receipts tax is a property tax, then the tribe is adamantly opposed to the tax because it's a tax on trust lands. However, if the gross receipts tax is more like a sales tax, then clearly the tribe and the state interest would be best served by a cooperative effort. In fact, the current language, like Representative Larry Lucas talked about, in the tax collection agreements and SDCL 1012A-2 state, the purpose is to provide a cooperative mechanism for the tribes to enforce their respective tax jurisdictions and to enforce their respective tax laws. State and tribal interests are best suited when a negotiation takes place. Too often, issues are only resolved after expensive litigation. The passage of HB 1273 is the first step. It will permit a negotiation and will let us talk about the issue. It does not mean that tribal governments and the state will immediately enter into any type of agreement on the PUC tax or the gross receipts tax on telecommunications. It means that we can talk about the issue. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Meek. We will hold questions till everyone's had a chance to testify.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll open it up to further proponents of House Bill 1273. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of House Bill 1273? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1273? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss, Department of Revenue and Regulation, and I'm here today to oppose House Bill 1273. As it was stated previously, the state has had tax collection agreements with Indian tribes for many years. I believe the statute was first enacted in 1974. I believe the first tax collection agreement was a cigarette agreement dated about 1975, if memory serves correctly. And in large part, I think it's fair to say that they work very well. Now, the laundry list of taxes are found currently in 10-12A-4, and the bill today proposes to add to that list two different items. One item is a tax, and one item is what I call a fee. And let's talk about the first one, the telecommunication gross receipt tax. That is the cell phone tax we all know about. That tax was enacted in 2003. Before the cell phone tax was enacted in 2002, for example, the cell phone folks received an assessment notice from the county director of equalization and a tax bill from the county treasurer, just like we do for our homes. That's how the mechanism worked in 2002 before the cell phone tax was enacted in 2003. In 2003, this legislature decided to go ahead and take the cell phone companies and apply to them a gross receipts tax in lieu of a property tax. That was the decision of the legislature at that time. Now, here's what happens with those funds. Under the statutes enacted in 2003, and I think they had to do some follow-up work later, but 40% of the funds go to the counties based upon a pro rata basis using statewide population versus countywide population. So, for example, in Todd County, where the Rosebud Reservation is, that county received some of the per capita cell phone company tax out of that 40% of the total tax collected. The 60% that is collected on the cell phone company tax, that goes to the property tax reduction fund. And, of course, those monies flow through the property tax reduction fund into the state aid formula to help pay state aid and so on and so forth. And so we know what we're talking about in numbers. The last year that I have data for fiscal year 2008, the total collections of this particular tax were approximately $10.8 million, with approximately $6.5 million to the property tax reduction fund, and approximately $4.3 million went to the counties on a pro rata basis. Now, this is a tax in lieu of a property tax. Now, the United States Supreme Court on a couple of occasions has talked about property taxation in Indian country. In one case is the Yakima case, and another case is the Cass County case. And what they have said is that if you own land in fee, in other words, if I was living in Todd County and I owned a hardware store in my own name, I would have to pay property taxes. Now, if I'm an enrolled member of a tribe and I own the hardware store in my own name, I would also have to pay property taxes. The exception in Indian country is when the land is held in the name of the United States of America in trust for the particular Indian person or the particular Indian tribe. And the reason that is, of course, is under Article 11, Section 5 of the South Dakota Constitution, we do not property tax the property owned by the United States government. So there are property taxes paid in Indian country to the Todd County Treasurer, for example. And this tax is in lieu of a property tax. This legislature just decided to change the format, the system, if you will, of this particular property tax, much like this legislature many years ago changed the way it approached the tax on the REAs, the Rural Electric Associations, and how they changed the tax on the small wireline telephone companies. In my country, that is the FEM Electric out of Ipswich and the Sully Buttes Telephone Cooperative out of Highmore, where I grew up. Those folks pay a gross receipts tax in lieu of a property tax, just like this tax. Our deep policy concern here today is that we are being asked to go down the road of putting into the mix of taxes that can be shared under a tax collection agreement a property tax. Granted, this is in lieu of a property tax, but it is their version of a property tax, if you will, and we believe that that is a very significant policy decision and causes us great concern. The other concern in this bill, if you look at it mechanically, is we don't know exactly how this would work. In other words, 40% of the money goes to the counties, and in my example, I think I said Todd County received in fiscal year 2008, I think Todd County received about $51,000. Well, we don't know if we're going to have to lower the amount that we sent to Todd County or whether we're going to have to lower the amount that we put in the property tax reduction fund. So we don't know mechanically exactly how that's going to work here. So I guess on the first item that's to be added, the telecommunication gross receipt tax of Chapter 10-33A, that's in lieu of a property tax, and we have deep concerns about that because if you're a county commissioner and you're looking to get that money, or if you're an REA or a small wireline telephone company, you got to kind of have to wonder how this all plays out. So on that tax, we think that it is not an appropriate one to add to the tax collection agreement mix. Now, the second item that is to be added is called in the bill the access fee imposed under 49-31-51 of the code. As I understand that is called the that is money that is deposited into the telecommunication fund for the deaf. 90% of that goes into the telecommunication fund for the deaf, and 10% goes into the telecommunication fund for other disabilities. While the department, I believe, is the collector of those funds, I believe those funds are shipped off to the Department of Health and Human Services. I think they do things such as relay service for the deaf and so forth. I don't know for certain, but that is a fee. And here's my concern about putting a fee into a tax collection agreement list like we have here today. I've never seen that done. And, of course, we as a state have many fees, and the one that I think of immediately is the fee that you pay when you go get a driver's license. And the thought process, in my mind anyway, is that are we also willing to go down the road of adding fees into a tax collection agreement and where that would lead us, and I'm very uncertain about that point. In sum, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, both of these items that they wish to add, I have deep concerns about them. I will say that the state has had a very good working relationship with the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and Whitney. I've visited with her many times. We look forward to continuing that relationship. There are times when we have disagreements, but that's good too. But with that, I would respectfully request the committee to defer this bill to the 41st day, and I stand by for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Are there any further opponents to House Bill 1273?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association, and Mr. Weiss did an excellent job of walking you through this bill. And quite frankly, we do view this as a tax that is in payment of lieu of property tax, and we certainly would ask you to resist any expansion of the property of the tax collection agreements. With that, I'll stand by. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Any further opponents to House Bill 1273? Any further opponents? Seeing none, we will open it up. Well, excuse me, Representative Lucas, come on up. If you want, okay, come on up and have a quick rebuttal. Yeah.
Thank you. I guess what we talked about was that maybe we could ask for an amendment to the bill to take out the PUC or that section 13. Believe the access fee imposed on the local exchange service lines, that we would ask that possibly that be taken out of the bill. And I guess my rebuttal too is that if it is a property tax, again, as Mr. Weiss had mentioned, that the state code does not permit the taxation of trust lands or land held by the United States government. So if the gross receipts tax is a property tax, then it's wrongfully being taxed on the Rosebud Reservation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Meek. With that, we will open it up to questions from the committee. Are there any questions of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
I have a question for Mr. Weiss. I think it'd be for the committee's benefit to have you explain a little bit more in depth why your justification for taxing those utilities on the reservation when they do sit on trust land.
Mr. Chairman, how it works is that we can't real property tax or tax land or property that's owned by the United States of America or title in the name of the United States of America, okay? There are times when, say, for example, I own a quarter of land and someone builds a structure on that quarter of land that I do not own. And the classic example in South Dakota, frankly, is the railroads owned all of the land that abutted the railroads and the grain elevators that sat on those right-of-ways that the railroad owned. The grain elevators were owned by, you know, the PV Elevator Company, and the Burlington Northern Railroad owned the land upon which they sat. So what you have in South Dakota law is you have a statute in 10-4 someplace, and I can't remember the number offhand, but it talks about a building on lease site, or in other words, real property that's on a lease site. So we have a situation where you may have one person who owns the dirt, but a different person who owns other real property that's situated on the dirt. For example, a cell phone tower. For example, a grain elevator. And what would happen in South Dakota law, if it's in my home country, an assessment notice would go to the owner of the dirt, and an assessment notice would go to the grain elevator folks. So you'd have, you know, even though it's geographically the same physical location, you'd have two assessment notices, two tax bills. I think how it works mechanically in Indian country is much the same. What you have to do is you have to look at who owns the dirt. In this case, the United States of America has titled that property. But then you look at who owns the improvement on it. And as far as I can tell, under my reading of the Indian law, and I could be wrong, that you have to look at that improvement separately from the underlying real property. So it isn't quite as simple as saying just because the cell phone tower sits on land that's held in trust, that makes it exempt from everything. I don't think it's quite that simple, and I hope I've answered your question.
Thank you. Further questions? Yep, President Kirschman.
Would this be better if we struck Section 13?
Mr. Chairman, in my view, it'd be better if we defer it to the 41st day.
Any further questions? I have one question for Mr. Wiest. Prior to the gross receipts law, there had to be a cell phone tower on in Indian country that we were taxing under the old scheme. How was those tax monies? How did that work out?
Mr. Chairman, before 2003, I know that county directors of equalization sent assessment notices to the different folks that had cell phone companies and had towers and so forth. You know, I honestly can't say for certain whether there was one, for example, in Todd County. I honestly don't know. But in my view, if they would have asked me the question in 2002, what I would have done in my legal analysis is to say, okay, who owns the tower? If the tower is owned by a cell phone company, or is the tower owned by the United States of America? And I wouldn't have made that distinction. But I can't tell you for certain whether there was a tower down in Todd County in 2002 or not.
Thank you. Ms. Meek,
Are you aware of any other reservations in South Dakota, not just Rosebud, but I know that there was a cell phone tower up in around Eagle Butte prior to this. Do you know how that system worked out when we just had the
I believe that Cheyenne River Telephone Authority probably was billing the cell phone issue. I think that's what Lynette Dupree had said. But I think that both Rosebud and Oglala Sioux Tribe probably just erected their towers within 5 years.
So my next question is, certainly there are other examples where non-tribal members own personal property on top of
trust land.
Is there a separate assessment that divides those two on, well, not a separate assessment, just is there an assessment on the personal property?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know that the county commissioner is attempting to tax real property on trust lands. It's basically always been treated as an exempt transaction.
Yep. Thank you. Mr. Wiest? Are you aware of any situations like that?
Mr. Chairman, for some reason I want to say that the Millett County Director of Equalization sends an assessment notice to Bell Farms for that hog farm that's in Millett County. Now, I could be wrong, but something tells me that that's the case, and I don't know if Whitney knows that or the answer to that question or not, and so I think that there has been an instance where it has occurred at least once.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we will open up the committee to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 1273 to the 41st day.
Motion by Representative Noem, second by Representative Solem to move House Bill 1273 to the 41st day. Representative Noem.
Oh, thank you. And this was an interesting discussion. I think it's good to have a bill like this that comes here and shows us exactly what the agreements cover with the tribes that we have, and it's a good process for us. I do agree, however, with the process that we already are undergoing. I believe that it's fair and that it's accurate. I'm concerned about the impact this would have on counties, and I'm concerned about the ramifications, especially Section 13, which I do know that the proponents of the bill did recommend that we remove. However, I think that this is something that could be quite expansive, and I feel that it would result in inaccurate taxation, and I believe that right now the process which we're undergoing is accurate, and so I would ask that you support the motion to defer House Bill 1273 to the 41st day.
Thank you, Representative Noem. Any further comments on the deferral motion of House Bill 1273? Representative
Hanoff. I agree. We've had a good discussion, an interesting discussion for me. I would hope that the lack of this language in the statute would not preclude the department and the tribe from continuing these conversations, because it seems, as Representative Noem said, it is a good discussion, and perhaps there are other discussions on other taxes that need to be carried on. So I'd be disappointed if lack of this in the statute would preclude those kind of conversations. And yet I would fear that if we actually did pass a statute that said may enter, that it's a too strong a signal from the legislature that we want that to happen. So I would just encourage those conversations without the statute. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments on the motion? I would just like to quickly add that I certainly agree with both Representative Noem and Hanoff. The fact that it seems to be somewhat, at least to me, ambiguous on the taxation of that personal property on trust land, I would need to verify how that's set up today, because it appears to me that this doesn't fit the definition of what the other sections that are in this bill, that may, along with obviously number 13, which is a completely different. But I would also agree that by this body endorsing this negotiation, that we're essentially giving them the power and the right to enter into those. And I think as a body, we want to have the ability to say whether you would or not. But I certainly agree with Representative Hunhoff that that doesn't preclude any dialogue, that they can talk about those. But with that, we have a deferral motion of House Bill 1273 to the 41st day. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell. Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
The deferral motion of the 41st day, having received a majority vote, is hereby declared lost. Thank you, Representative Lucas.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenfield.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that after talking with Representative Junkie and after he consulted with LRC, I believe that we need a title amendment to House Bill 1255, and I was wondering what the mechanism is for bringing that back up.
Mr. Bott said we could just make a motion on that.
Okay, on Mr. Chairman, I would move that the title on House Bill 1255 be amended as follows. On line 1, after revise, insert certain provisions concerning. And thank you for the second. And according to LRC staff, it sounds as though that would be generic enough language that it would be a catch-all and we'd be good to go.
Yeah. Is everyone clear on the amendment? We'll read it one more time. An act to revise certain provisions concerning the telecommunications gross receipt tax. Any questions on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The title is so amended. Thank you, Representative Greenfield. Moving on to our last bill on the calendar, House Joint Resolution 1001. We'll open the public hearing. Are there any proponents to House Joint Resolution 1001? Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Gerald Lang, representative from District 8. I'm here to present an idea that would help solve our budget crunch, not right away, but in the future. And it's proposing to submit to the electors at the next general election a new section to Article 11 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota relating to the imposition of a corporate income tax. It's HJR 1001. And I hope to be able to illustrate to you how this is in the spirit of what we've been doing to eliminate exemptions. Most of you don't know that there already is a corporate income tax in South Dakota, and I'll demonstrate that for you. In the spirit of Abraham Lincoln, whose birthday we celebrate today, the first great Republican president, who, when faced with a deficit, instituted an income tax in 1862 to help pay for the Civil War. I hope that you'll see that Lincoln was fiscally responsible, and we should be too. What you'll notice in the bill, on line 12, is that the, no, it's on, excuse me, it's line 12. However, this section does not include to apply to any for-profit educational institution or any insurance company subject to a tax on gross receipts, gross premiums, or financial institutions
subject to the bank franchise tax. So what I'm saying here is that we have exemptions built in. And if you'll note here, this was some time ago, call for state income tax draws applause. What? That's crazy. Well, this is Aberdeen. They're different. And this is 03. That's been 6 years. But notice down here, South Dakota does not tax corporate or personal income. Partly true, partly false. I next refer to the distinguished group here, and I'm sure you've all studied this book. It's from the Department of Revenue and Regulation. It's the 2008 annual report. And I first want to show you that bankers, even after hosting us last night, still had $70 million to contribute to the state budget. Now, let's see. This is the line. Bank franchise card tax. Back in 2006, it was $61 million. Then it went up to $75 million in 2007. And here in 2008, it has dropped to 69.8, well, almost 70 million. It's off minus 7.74%. Well, that's not bad. Most of our other investments are off 40% or so. If you do the Wall Street banking geniuses math. So that illustrates to me, this is your sheet where your three-year comparisons of revenue by type. Now, the fact that we call it a bank franchise tax doesn't diminish the fact that it's based on their income. The first $300 million, 6%, then it graduates down to one-fourth of 1% if you make over $1 billion. And Citicorp got that instituted in 2000, year 2000. They got it down to one-fourth of 1%. On anything over $1 billion. Yes, there are billions being made in South Dakota with their franchises. The second page we have to look at, because on this sheet, no matter how you search, you can't find the other series of corporations that pay an income tax. And this is where you have to go to page 32, the Division of Insurance, and their general fund contributes $60 million. They contribute $60 million to our general fund. Now, that's based on gross premiums. Well, what do you call it, a premium tax? No, it's based on their premiums, their income. So it is an income tax. Now, one of the interesting pages in here is the one where they talk about our wonderful business climate and how we rank dead last in taxes per capita. Isn't this wonderful? Here we are way down at the bottom, there isn't enough screen here to get, yeah, we can do it. We're way down at the bottom at $1,578 of taxes per capita. And our neighboring states, for heaven's sakes, Minnesota is way up here at $3,400. North Dakota, $2,700 and some. Well, I refer you to Doc Farber, the great dean of USD's government business, who in 1951 decided that legislators needed help, and surely I do. And I got help by reading his book, Footprints on the Prairie. Doc Farber believed with his professor that a society has to determine what their goals are, what level of civilization they want to buy. And then they have to figure out what's the fairest way to pay for it. And Doc Farber was a long-time supporter
of an income tax as the fairest way to support a high quality of life, a high civilization. Interestingly, in Minnesota, where a daughter lives in St. Paul, some years ago I saw a sign on somebody's lawn, proud to pay high taxes for a high civilization, for a high quality of life. Okay, that's their approach. I understand South Dakota thinking. I've been here since 1964, but I lived in other places before that, and I agreed with the philosophy of one Al Newhart. The more taxes I pay, the better I like it. It means I'm making more money. But that's probably a little bit off the main subject. What you're debating today is simply not taking personal responsibility for this, but simply allowing the voters in the next election to decide if they want to eliminate the exemptions, the Kmarts, Walmarts, and all of those, eliminate those exemptions, or should we be honest about it and repeal the taxes on banks and insurance companies. Then we truly could say we have no corporate or personal income tax, and are we ever proud? But the spin-off is that we can't afford birth through three. We can't afford to move up from last in teacher salaries. We can't afford to do anything about the elderly who are hurting. We can't afford to get rid of the sales tax on food because we need that money. No other state has that. But it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to decide to live in a South Dakota, a state that is last in so many things, but we've got no income tax, except we've got a corporate and we've got a tax on banks and we've got a tax on insurance companies. So with that, I'll get off my high horse and thank you very much for your attention. I'm sorry I sometimes get carried away. It's my nature. When you get senile, that happens to you.
Thank you, Representative Lang. Are there any further proponents to House Joint Resolution 1001? Any further proponents? Seeing none. Are there any opponents to House Joint Resolution 1001? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we will waive the rebuttal and open it up to committee questions. Representative Noem.
For Representative Lang, can I ask you a couple questions? You didn't talk very much about, and I'd just like you to visit a little bit with us about why it does not apply to a for-profit educational institution, why you're not applying that tax to them.
I would probably thank you for the question, Representative Noem. I think that educational institutions, I remember, we had a person whose main objection was that his private university out in Black Hills would be affected by this. And he said, we'll just go to Colorado. And so I said, well, we can put that in if you like. I didn't get his vote, but, you know, it's kind of, whenever you're here for as long as I've been here, you see artificial objections raised all the time. And in trying to accommodate, I have people with bank corporations, farm corporations, that say, whoops, that would affect us. Well, is 6% of your net profit going to put you out of business, for heaven's sakes? So I think, you know, if you're going to cater to some people who object because it affects them, then you're going to be forever pandering. And if there's one thing I despise, it's politicians who pander. I'm sorry, I'm getting off the track again.
But those institutions are not currently being taxed with an income tax like you're claiming with the bank franchise tax and insurance companies, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lang, do you have
an estimate or a rough idea on the amount of revenue this proposal would bring into the great state of South Dakota?
Thank you, Representative Kirkby, Mr. Chairman. When I first introduced this, the number was $90 million, but it's highly volatile, as you well know right now. I think $90 million was a low estimate. Since then, we're reading about the profits that are being made at places like Walmart. There's a Walmart Watch website that I go to once in a while if I want to get my blood pressure up.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Representative Lang. I, too, have had the same question of me with farm corporations, and I guess my curiosity is, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but isn't one of the reasons for incorporating to, for lack of a better word, I guess, try to limit or reduce the amount of income tax that you're going to pay to the federal government? I don't understand that completely, but can you talk to that a little bit?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman. The near us, well, it's over by Flandre, we have a Britannia dairy. And I know the manager, and I'm not sure if incorporating, of course, it's to avoid liability, of course, is one of the big reasons. But incorporating is for tax reasons. I can't tell you for sure, but I don't think taxes are a number one problem. The other day over at the SDEA building, Representative Thompson knows very well that why people come to a state. What's first? Labor force, trained workers. Number two, transportation. Number three is something else, and number four is taxes. The whole idea of tax incentives to bring people in is highly overrated. It's trained workforce, isn't it, Bill? And education, right. We would do well to spend more on our vocational technical schools, from what I'm hearing right now, that people are flooding to the community colleges because of the affordability problem at universities nowadays. Yes. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you. Any further questions of Representative Lang? Any further questions? Representative Noem.
Jerry, I have one more question, and you can answer it from your seat if you want to. That's fine with me. I'm just wondering how you arrived at the 6%.
What's that?
I'm wondering how you arrived at the 6%.
6%.
If you'll do it in your microphone, though, it'll be on. It'll be archived forever.
Oh, great.
The 6% is what the banks pay right now on the first $300 million they're making.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we will move to discussion and or action. Any discussion and or action on House Joint Resolution 1001? Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that, I'm sorry, to the 41st legislative day.
Second. Motion by Kirkaby, second by Representative Junkie, to move House Joint Resolution 1001 to the 41st day. Any comments on that motion? Representative Kirkaby. Well,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, it's always educational, entertaining, and extremely sincere and compassionate when Representative Lang even ponders the thought about words coming out of his mouth. The discussion is, it continues to gain momentum. I don't think anybody can question the wisdom and the merits behind this resolution. I think all ideas and options to improve the quality of life of South Dakota certainly have to be under consideration, but I just do not believe that in the year 2009 that this is the direction that we should pursue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kirkaby. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be resisting this motion. I supported this concept 2 or 3 years ago when it was presented to us, and there's much to like about it. The state government does endorse a corporate income tax. We see that in two situations. It does not support a cross-the-board corporate income tax. The state also endorses the initiative process. We started that, and we use it. And it has always been my contention that in terms of the biggest issues in this state, the people have the right to make that decision directly. And for those reasons, I have always supported this concept and always will. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Further comments on the deferral of the 41st day motion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this legislature and our executive branch as well really seems to be wrestling with how to solve a structural deficit problem that's been going on now for, what, 5 or 6 years, and probably will continue after this year. Fortunately, thanks to this committee and I think the legislature as a whole, it looks like we're finding some ways to use some one-time funds again, as we've used for a number of years now to patch together a budget. That's especially appropriate this year with the recession looming. But certainly we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and I'm not sure the legislature or the governor is going to be able to do that. Maybe we should throw something to the public and see what they think of it. Maybe this and maybe some other ideas as well, because we at some point we've got to start balancing our budgets from year to year again. And you know, if you just look at some of the bills that this committee has had to deal with, we're talking about taxing rodeo clowns, librarians, ostrich farmers, teenage baseball umpires, as I recall, some silly things like that. And then you go to the other extreme where we've got sales taxes that would be really harmful to businesses that would be happy to pay a tax if they made a profit, but businesses that say that some of these proposals that we've tossed around in this committee would make them extremely uncompetitive with their out-of-state or foreign competitors. We have a manufacturer in Yankton, Kohlberg Portec, and this is serious business. They are trying so hard to keep their workforce in place, and they've cut back salaries, they've cut back hours, long ago cut back overtime. Now every few days they have to lay off a few more people. I know the CEOs. I know they just you know, it's just a sad situation for them. We can't continue these kind of fixes. And one of the tax bills we have before us would tax these big conveyors that they make. They claim that that's 6% tax, 4% state, 2% city. If we put that 6% tax on their equipment, it will make them uncompetitive with foreign markets, more uncompetitive than they already are, and they'll have to make more tough decisions on who to lay off or whose salaries to cut. So we've just got a mess of a tax system in South Dakota. It's especially a mess in this year with the recession. But even as we come out of it, we're going to have to make some tough decisions on how we're going to fund essential services in state government. I think Representative Lang brought forth a proposal that he's saying, you know, let's talk about it. Let's throw it out to the people of South Dakota. I really think you ought to rethink this motion. I'm not going to bother you with the substitute motion, but rethink it before you vote. This is a logical proposal that the public could really consider.
Thank you, Representative Hanoff. Representative Noem.
Well, I think that's interesting discussion, and I think that calling this a logical proposition doesn't qualify under my description. And the reason is because every other bill that you've seen come before this committee has been an attempt to equalize taxation. The bills that we've seen have been removing exemptions that were imposed, and those deserve fair hearings so we can make sure that those exemptions are still adequate and that we're taxing everybody fairly in the state of South Dakota. My belief when I came here and ran for the legislature, they want to treat people fairly and treat them equitably, and I think I have a call to do that as being a member that sits here. When you look at this proposition before you, regardless of what your philosophy on taxation is, it's not treating people equitably. By including for-profit educational institutions in here, that right there gives me a red flag that tells me we're not going to be treating people fairly under this bill. So if you vote to support this bill, then you're voting and supporting unfair taxation, unequitable taxation, and that would be wrong. So I would ask that you support this motion and remember that our call here as a legislature is to treat the people of South Dakota fairly and tax them equitably. Thank you.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I hope you support the 41st day motion because two things. One, this is a proposed joint resolution to go to the voters in 2010. It's not going to do anything for our current deficit whatsoever. If it so happens to pass in 2010, it's a long ways down the road, and it's just inequitable, like the previous speaker said, and I hope you can support the 41st day.
Thank you, Representative Junkie. Any further comments? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I suppose there's never been a tax bill that everybody would call equitable, and it may not be perfect. And if you defeat this motion, I'll be happy to supply an amendment that will strike the for-profit educational institutions. But we already tax, and I'll be brief, Mr. Chairman, we already have a gross tax on, I think as Representative Lang mentioned, on what banks, insurance companies, mining companies, I believe, telecommunications companies, I bet the list goes on and on. In this very session, we're talking about putting more of a gross receipts type tax or a progressive type tax on ag land. So we do it all through the statutes and we're slowly moving in that direction. I think Representative Lang's effort is actually to make it equitable because some of us aren't paying. The banks and insurance companies pay. Magazines don't pay. Walmart doesn't pay. You know, Walmart and I are getting off scot-free. I'd like it to be equitable.
Thank you, Representative Hunoff. Any further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question of equitability has been shown to you before, and if you think it's equitable to charge the lower income group at a rate of 10% and the upper income group at 3%, then your definition of equitability is a little bit contorted. If you persist in a tax system that is blatantly unfair, that is listed as one of the dirty dozen by the Association on Tax Fairness, then I don't understand your rationale except that to say that the rich and the well-born in this state are immune to any kind of equitable taxation.
Thank you, Representative Lang. I just want to make a couple of comments because, you know, on some instances I agree with you, Representative Lang. You brought a bill to get rid of the contractor's excise tax. And I think something may have to be worked out someday because if you talk to businesses who want to come to South Dakota, we brag about how great our tax system is. We're small business friendly. We roll out the red carpet, not the red tape. And they said, yeah, my accountants will tell you that. That's right. Long term, we're going to make a lot more money in South Dakota. But what they tell you is the fact that you have a contractor's excise tax, the fact that you have a sales tax, is very limiting to them, which is why under our current tax system we have, I believe in strongly defending the Future Fund and the Ready Loan program because we use that to offset those taxes because it's very intensive up front. They go through that valley of death when they come through. They're losing money. But to simply add this on top of the sales tax and the contractor's excise tax and property tax, they would simply just they'd laugh at us. They would. There's no way they'd come. You know, so I think that that's a very complex idea, that the groundwork needs to be laid prior to that. Maybe it would be the best thing, but to simply start with this first, I think that this needs to be done in the legislature and get the groundwork laid as a complex package. But to do this today, I think would be premature, so I would hope you would support the deferral to the 41st day motion. Thank you. Moving on, all those in favor of the deferral to the 41st day motion will say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Bikert.
No.
Gibson?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
No.
Lang?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell? Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
No.
Gnome?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, 7 ayes, 6 noes, 2 excused.
A motion to defer HDR 1001 to the 41st day, not having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to table.
Second.
I have a motion by Greenfield, second by Noam, to table HDR 1001. That's a non-debatable motion. Representative Cutler just walked in. The motion before us is to table House Joint Resolution 1001. All those in favor?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Well, what are we doing then?
The motion is to table HDR 1001. Got a motion and a second.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Wasn't the vote 7-6 to move to the
It
first?
Was, but we need 8.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So the motion before us is to table House Joint Resolution 1001. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Bikert?
No.
Gibson?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
No.
Lang? Lederman?
Aye.
Russell? Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
No.
Gnome?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 8 ayes, 6 no, 2 excused.
The tabling motion, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Oh, 1 excused. Excuse me.
Thank you. That concludes today's business. We will have a full calendar on next Tuesday, so keep an eye out for the agenda. It will be coming out towards the end of the day. So unless there are there any other things, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Junkie. Do we have a second? Second by Greenfield. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We are adjourned.